Ever get that feeling like you're just, I don't know, spinning your wheels when you
That's right.
study?
I get flow.
You're highlighting, you're rereading, maybe making flashcards, but you kind of wonder, is this actually the best way? Am I doing it right?
Yeah. Are we working smart or just working hard? It's a great question.
So today we're doing a deep dive into exactly that. How much do we students, teachers, even parents really understand about what actually makes learning, stick?
Right.
Yeah.
And we're grounded in this conversation in some solid research, a recent article called Students, Teachers, and Parents' Knowledge About and Perceptions of Learning Strategies.
Okay.
It's by Amber E. Witherby, Addison L. Babineau, and Sarah K. Tauber. They're affiliated with Creighton University, Texas Women's University, and Texas Christian University.
Got it. So our mission today is basically to unpack what these three groups, students, teachers, parents, think about different ways to learn. Where do they agree? Where are the maybe surprising differences? And ultimately, what can we all learn from this to, well, learn better or help others learn better?
Exactly. It's all about finding those actionable insights. So the researchers, they kind of set the stage first. They reminded us what the science generally says about effective learning.
Okay.
And a key thing is this difference between passive strategies versus active ones.
Right. Passive being like rereading,
Yeah.
highlighting, stuff that doesn't take a ton of brain power.
Precisely. Minimal effort, minimal engagement. Whereas active strategies, they require more effort. Things like testing yourself, retrieval practice, or explaining concepts out loud in your own words, deeper processing.
And the consensus is that the active stuff is generally better for long-term learning. Yeah.
That's the strong consensus, yes. The study actually references some really influential work by Delosky and his colleagues.
Okay.
They rated the utility, basically the effectiveness of common learning strategies.
Interesting. Like a ranking.
Kind of, yeah. Think of it like a guide to which study techniques give you the most return on investment.
Okay, so spill the beans. What strategies got the top marks?
The high utility ones, the real heavy hitters backed by lots of evidence, are retrieval practice, which is basically testing yourself and distributed study.
Distributed study, spacing it out, right? Not cramming.
Exactly. Spacing your study sessions over time. These two are consistently shown to work well for lots of different people and subjects.
Good to know. Retrieval practice and spacing it out, those are the gold standard, basically. What's in the next tier down?
Then you've got your moderate utility strategies. These can be useful, but maybe depend a bit more on the situation or how you use them.
Okay.
This includes things like blocking versus interleaving. So studying one topic fully before moving on versus mixing different topics up.
Ah, okay. Blocking versus mixing.
Right. And also elaborative interrogation, asking yourself why, questions about the material, and self-explanation, which is kind of like teaching the material to yourself.
Okay. So those are useful, but maybe need a bit more finesse. And what about the ones that we think are helpful, but maybe aren't so great?
Well, that brings us to the low utility category. And this is where you find some really popular ones, unfortunately.
Like highlighting. Please tell me highlighting isn't totally useless.
Well, it's generally rated low utility on its own. Same for just rereading passively.
Oh.
Also using keyword mnemonics, creating mental images for everything, just writing summaries without much deep thought, and definitely cramming that massed restudy schedule.
Wow. Okay, that's slightly depressing because highlighting and rereading are so common. They feel productive.
That's a really key point. They feel easy, they feel familiar, but that doesn't automatically mean they're effective for long-term learning.
Right.
And the researchers are quick to point out it's not just what strategy you use, but how you use it. Like rereading spaced out over time is probably better than rereading five times in one night.
Okay, that makes sense.
And, things like learner ability matter too. A really insightful summary is going to be more helpful than a superficial one.
So it's nuanced. It's about choosing the right tool and using it well. Okay, let's zoom in on the students. What does prior research say about the strategies they actually use?
Yeah, previous studies looking at actual student behavior often show a reliance on those less effective, more passive methods.
Like cramming.
Exactly. One study found something like 52% of students reported cramming. That masked approach we know isn't great. It suggests students often just default to what feels easiest or most immediate.
Yeah, that sounds familiar. Pressure's on, deadline's looming. An all-nighter feels like the only way, even if you know deep down it's probably not the best for actually learning.
Right. And what's also interesting is even when students do use a potentially good strategy like retrieval practice, I think one study found about 70% reported
All
using
right,
it.
that's pretty high.
It is. But here's the catch. Many seem to use it just to check what they know, like monitoring their learning rather than using the active retrieval itself as a way to strengthen the memory.
Ah, so they're missing the key benefit. They don't realize that trying to remember is actually what helps you remember better later.
Yes, precisely. They're using it more as an assessment tool than a learning tool.
Right.
And other studies, like one by McKay back in 2011, asked students to directly compare methods.
Mm.
They often got it wrong. They'd say things like, cramming was better than spacing, or rereading was better than testing themselves. Their intuition was often off.
That's wild. You'd think experience would teach you what works best for you.
You'd hope so. But even when researchers asked students about their beliefs, about how effective strategies were individually, like in a study by Blossoman and colleagues, students rated reading notes higher than self-testing.
Wow, really?
Yep. Another study showed they tended to underestimate the power of spacing and interleaving even after they'd like actually tried those methods out.
So their beliefs are pretty stubborn even when faced with evidence or experience.
It seems that way sometimes. There seems to be this real disconnect between the science of learning and what students often believe and do.
Why do you think that is? Is it just no one's told them?
That's likely a big part of it. Students might not be getting explicit instruction on how to learn effectively. One study found only about a third of students said they used strategies they actually learned from their teachers.
Only a third. That feels low. Teachers seem like the obvious people to teach this stuff.
It does seem like a missed opportunity, doesn't it? Now, other surveys show college teachers do often talk about study strategies.
Okay.
But maybe there's a difference between just mentioning a strategy and really ensuring students grasp why it works and how to do it right. Which, naturally, leads us to the next question.
What do the teachers themselves know?
Exactly. If the teachers aren't fully up to speed, it's hard to expect them to guide students perfectly.
So what's the research say about teacher knowledge?
Well, first off, the authors of the paper we're discussing point out there's surprisingly little research specifically on this.
Really? That seems like a gap.
It is. But the studies that do exist suggest that teachers' knowledge, kind of like students, isn't always perfectly aligned with the research evidence.
Mm.
Some studies using those paired comparisons, choose strategy A or B, found teachers didn't always pick the ones most backed by science. Like, some studies showed lower endorsement for retrieval practice and spacing among high school teachers.
So, similar patterns to the students, maybe favoring familiarity over proven effectiveness sometimes.
It looks a bit like that, yeah. Now, things looked a bit better with college teachers in that Moorhead study. A higher percentage did endorse retrieval and spacing.
Okay, that's more encouraging.
But even in that group, teachers still reported recommending a mix, some effective strategies, some less effective ones. So even among educators, perhaps more likely to engage with this kind of research, there's still maybe a gap to bridge.
Right. So room for improvement in getting the word out to educators, too. Now, the third group, parents. What do we know about their understanding? This feels like uncharted territory.
You hit the nail on the head. It's arguably the least studied area. The paper we're looking at really highlights this a big lack of research, directly asking parents what they know about common learning strategies.
That is surprising. Parents are so involved, you'd think we'd want to know what they understand about how learning actually happens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We know parental involvement generally links to better academic outcomes, right?
Mm.
And maybe part of that involvement is guiding study habits, but we don't have much direct evidence on whether parents know which habits are most effective.
Mm.
There was one interesting study, Leader and colleagues in 2023, it found parents' beliefs about math learning strategies predicted their kids' later use of those strategies.
Okay, so parental beliefs matter.
They seem to, yeah.
Yeah.
It even influenced the kids' own beliefs. But as you hinted, that was specific to math. It was done in Japan. And it was more about the link between beliefs and use, not necessarily how accurate the parents' beliefs were in the first place.
Gotcha. So the basic question, do parents generally know what works best for learning? That was still kind of unanswered.
Pretty much. Which brings us neatly to the current study by Witherby and her team. They set out to fill some of these gaps.
Okay, so how did they approach it? What made their study different?
Well, they did a few key things differently. First, instead of forcing people to choose between strategy A and strategy B, they just asked them to rate the effectiveness of each strategy on its own.
Ah, okay. So how good is strategy A? And separately, how good is strategy B?
Exactly. Which might be closer to how we actually think about these things, you know, evaluating each option individually.
Makes sense.
What else? Second, and this is really important, they gave very clear, concrete examples of what each strategy looked like in practice.
Oh, that's huge, because retrieval practice could mean different things to different people.
Totally. So they made sure everyone was on the same page about what they were rating. For instance, for elaborative interrogation, the example was like, a student learning at the French Revolution asked themselves why certain factors led to it.
Right. Concrete.
Or for retrieval practice, maybe a student trying to recall vocabulary definitions without looking at the list. Specific scenarios.
Yeah, that clarity is crucial. What else was novel about their approach?
Well, they gathered more data on teachers than many previous studies, and importantly, got this brand new data from parents. They also looked at a wider range of strategies, including some like interleaving and elaborative interrogation that aren't always included.
Okay.
And they didn't just ask about effectiveness. They also asked about familiarity. How well do you know this strategy and likelihood of future use or recommendation?
Use for students, recommend for teachers and parents.
Yep. And one more detail for retrieval practice, they even asked about overt versus covert. So saying it out loud versus just thinking it.
Wow. Okay. They were really thorough. Sounds like a comprehensive look. So what did they find? What were the big headlines?
Probably the most positive headline was that overall people across all three groups, students, teachers, parents, seemed to have a pretty decent grasp of the most effective strategies.
Meaning retrieval practice and distributed study.
Exactly. Those two consistently got the highest effectiveness ratings from everyone. And conversely, strategies generally considered less effective, like interleaving and masked study, got lower ratings.
Okay, so that's good news. People generally recognize the big winners.
Yeah, it suggests there's at least some general awareness, maybe an intuition, about active recall and spacing being good.
But I'm guessing the devil's in the details. Where did the differences show up?
Oh, definitely. This is where it gets fascinating. Let's compare retrieval practice to some others. Take highlighting.
Okay. The classic showdown.
Right. Everyone rated retrieval as more effective than highlighting. But the gap in those ratings was biggest for students, then teachers, then parents.
So students see the biggest difference in value between testing themselves and just highlighting.
It seems that way. They have the strongest sense that retrieval is way better. Mm-hmm. Similarly, retrieval beat rereading for everyone. But here, students and parents actually gave higher overall ratings to both strategies compared to teachers.
Hmm. So teachers saw retrieval as better than rereading, but maybe rated both a bit lower overall than students and parents did.
That's what the data suggests. Maybe teachers have a slightly more critical eye toward even basic review methods compared to learners and their parents.
Interesting thought. What about comparing retrieval to some of those other strategies?
Okay, so retrieval versus keyword mnemonics retrieval won again, but this time parents showed the biggest difference in ratings.
Okay.
Now, retrieval versus imagery and retrieval versus summarization here, it gets nuanced. Students and parents rated retrieval higher than both, but teachers' ratings, they didn't show a significant difference between retrieval and imagery or between retrieval and summarization.
Whoa. So teachers see imagery and summarization as being kind of on par with retrieval practice, effectiveness-wise, while students and parents put retrieval clearly ahead.
That seems to be the case. It might suggest teachers value those constructive, active processing strategies like summarizing or visualizing maybe a bit more highly, or see them as closer competitors to retrieval compared to students and parents.
That's a really interesting divergence. Maybe teachers see the value in constructing meaning through summaries or images more.
Could be. Now back to the less effective ones. Retrieval versus cramming. Masked restudy. Everyone agreed retrieval was way better. And again, students and parents gave higher overall ratings to both than teachers did. Same pattern for blocked content order. Retrieval rated higher by all. Parents gave higher overall ratings than teachers.
Okay.
Retrieval versus interleaving. Retrieval came out much higher across the board. And here, the biggest difference was seen in students' ratings.
So students really seem to sense that just doing one thing over and over isn't as good as mixing it up, even if they don't call it interleaving.
It looks that way. When retrieval is compared to elaborative interrogation, why questions, and self-explanation, again, students and parents rated retrieval higher. But teachers' ratings didn't significantly differ between retrieval and these two active strategies.
So another instance where teachers see certain active strategies as being closer in value to retrieval practice.
Exactly. But here's a really fascinating one. Retrieval practice versus distributed restudy. The two gold standards.
Right. What happened there?
Students and parents' effectiveness ratings didn't significantly differ between the two. They saw them as similarly valuable.
Okay.
But teachers actually rated distributed study as more effective than retrieval practice.
Wow. That is interesting. Why might that be?
Well, one interpretation is that teachers, maybe thinking about learning over a whole semester or a year, really value the long-term retention benefits that come from spacing things out. They might see that cumulative power of spaced repetition as even more crucial than immediate retrieval success.
That makes a lot of sense from an educator's perspective, planning for the long haul.
It does. A couple more quick ones. Overt retrieval, out loud, was generally seen as better than covert, silent thinking, and students rated both types higher than teachers did. Blocked study was rated higher than interleaved by everyone, again suggesting interleaving is undervalued, especially by students who showed the biggest difference. And finally, everyone agreed, distributed study trounced massed study, with teachers showing the biggest gap in ratings there, really emphasizing their belief in spacing over cramming.
Okay, wow, that's a really rich set of comparisons. It definitely shows general agreement on the basics, but some really intriguing differences in the nuances, especially with the teachers' perspectives. Now, you mentioned they also asked about familiarity. How did that play out?
Familiarity seems really important.
Yeah.
Generally, the strategies people were most familiar with were retrieval practice and highlighting.
Okay, the active superstar and the passive. Well, the passive one.
Right, and the ones people were least familiar with. Interleaving and self-explanation often came up low.
And does that lack of familiarity seem linked to how effective people thought they were?
It really looks like it. It strongly suggests that if you're not familiar with a strategy, you're probably less likely to rate it as highly effective or, you know, even consider using it.
Hmm.
The lower ratings for interleaving, for example, might be partly because fewer people really know what it is or how to do it.
That makes total sense. You trust what you know. Were there differences between the groups in familiarity?
Yeah, a few interesting ones. Like, students reported being more familiar with retrieval practice than with highlighting.
Oh, interesting.
But for parents and teachers, their familiarity levels for those two strategies weren't significantly different. It highlights that just because a strategy is effective doesn't mean everyone knows about it equally well.
Right. Exposure and understanding clearly matter. So did all this translate into what people said they'd do, their future use or recommendations?
Largely, yes. The top-rated strategies for effectiveness, distributed study, and retrieval practice were also the ones people were most likely to say they'd use or recommend in the future.
Good. So intentions align with perceived effectiveness there.
Mostly. And conversely, interleaving and masked study got the lowest ratings for future use or recommendation. But again, some nuances popped up.
Like what?
Well, remember how teachers didn't see a significant difference in effectiveness between retrieval and highlighting compared to students?
Yes.
Well, students and teachers were still more likely to say they'd use or recommend retrieval over highlighting in the future. But parents, their likelihood ratings for using or recommending those two didn't differ significantly.
Okay.
And remember that split between retrieval and distributed study, where teachers rated distributed study as more effective?
Yeah.
Well, when it came to future use, students actually favored retrieval practice for themselves, but teachers were more likely to say they would recommend distributed study to their students.
Ah, so teachers believe spacing is slightly more effective, and that's what they'd advise, even if students might lean towards retrieval for their own immediate study plans.
Exactly. It shows that knowing what's effective is one thing, but personal habits, pedagogical goals, maybe even perceived ease of implementation, can influence what people actually plan to do or advise others to do.
It really drives home that just knowing the science isn't the whole picture. You need the willingness and the know-how to put it into practice. Okay, so let's try and wrap this all up. What are the big practical takeaways from this deep dive?
Well, I think one positive is that general awareness seems okay for the absolute top-tier strategies, like retrieval and spacing. People kind of get that those are good.
Right.
But the persistent overestimation of less effective strategies, especially the easy feeling ones like highlighting and rereading, that's a real concern.
Because people might default to them just because they're easier.
Exactly. They require less mental effort, so it's tempting to stick with them, even if they aren't leading to the best learning outcomes. So a key implication is we need to actively, you know, promote and explain why active strategies and spaced practice are worth the extra effort.
Shifting the focus from what feels easy to what is effective.
Precisely. And that means getting this research out there more broadly, not just in journals, but to teachers in training, teachers in classrooms, and parents too, so they have the most up-to-date info to guide students.
Yeah, bridging that research to practice gap.
Definitely. The study's method of looking at strategies individually was also really valuable, maybe reflecting real-world choices better. But it also underlined that knowing about a strategy isn't enough. You need to know how to do it right, which ties back to that familiarity piece we talked about.
Right. We need practical guidance, clear examples.
Absolutely. And finally, just remembering that this research is always evolving. Strategy effectiveness can sometimes depend on the context, the subject matter, the learner's goals. It's not always a one-size-fits-all answer.
So a valuable snapshot, but the exploration continues.
Exactly. But this study gives us some really crucial insights into how students, teachers, and parents think about learning, and why understanding those perspectives is so important for actually improving learning.
Okay, so summing up our deep dive, there's generally good recognition of the really powerful strategies like retrieval practice and spacing. That's the good news. But there are still important gaps and differences in understanding, familiarity, and perceived value across students, teachers, and parents when you look at the whole range of techniques.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And maybe a final thought for everyone listening. Take a second to think about the learning strategies you rely on, or the ones you advise your kids or students to use.
Hmm.
Are they aligning with the evidence we've talked about? Could you make one small shift, maybe try spacing things out a bit more or incorporate more self-testing based on these insights? Something to chew on.
Definitely food for thought. How can we tweak our own habits or how we support others to learn just a little bit more effectively?
It's an ongoing journey, right? This dive is just scratching the surface of the science of learning. There's always more to unpack.